Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Let us stand all over this place. Thank you, Father. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything, redeemed to God in prayer. Oh, what peace. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not care. Amen, amen, amen. Let's thank God again for our choir. Thank you, choir, for blessing the Lord in song. I am always happy to have my sister and my brother-in-law from New Orleans here with us. Amen. So happy to see our good friend from Jamaica Spot. She told me yesterday I'm going to be in the house, and she's here. God bless you. So happy to see you. All right, if you have your Bibles, we want to call your attention this morning to the book of Judges, chapter 16. Judges chapter 16, verses 4 and 5. Judges chapter 16, verses 4 and 5. And there you will find these words. Afterward, it happened that he loved the woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him and find out where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. Amen. For just a few moments this morning, again, it's Independence Day, and we're celebrating freedom as a nation. But on the spiritual side of that, I want to talk about freedom from what is fatal. Freedom from what is fatal. Amen. And as you take your seats, if you're wondering what is it that is fatal, I remind you what the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. Amen. And so we know that sin, for the believer and for anybody, can be fatal if you don't find the remedy to sin. And the remedy to sin is Jesus. Thank you, ushers. Amen. In this life, I have discovered that everything that seems good to you isn't necessarily good for you. Do I have a witness this morning? There are some things in this life that you may find yourself drawn to that are not meant for your good. Even though it may seem enjoyable to you at the time, in the end, it could bring about your destruction. I've learned that it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what your status in life is. No one is exempt from being caught up in compromising predicaments and questionable circumstances. As we examine this text, my mind ventured back to the late 1980s. There was a movie that had America and probably the rest of the world talking. Amen. This movie, that it changed the way people looked at relationships. It changed the way many couples looked at fidelity. This was a film that had married women daring their husbands to even think about being unfaithful. This was a film that had even the toughest, most masculine, manly men scared to even look at another woman. It dealt with the danger, the act, and the consequences of becoming involved in an extramarital affair. The movie was called Fatal Attraction. It explored just what can and will often happen when a man or a woman decides to slip up and fall into another relationship. Let me suggest to you that likewise, those of us who are in the household of faith, if we're not careful, we will have the proclivity, we will have the tendencies and the inclinations to end up in our own spiritual fatal attractions. If we're not careful, we can end up in the same predicament as the people in our text. Samson illustrates to us a prime example of what can happen when we allow ourselves to be attracted to sin. He shows us the effects that a fatal attraction can have on our lives. And for you Bible readers, you know that James 1 and 15 emphatically informs us that when lust has been conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished or when it is fully grown, it produces death. So this lets us know that the attraction to sin is deadly, and yes, it can be fatal. The word fatal is defined as something causing or capable of causing death, something or someone causing ruin or destruction. In other words, something fatal is something that is deadly, disastrous, destructive, and lethal to you. And the word attraction is the act or capability of attracting, or the power of attracting, something that attracts you, something that lures you, something that charms you, it fascinates you, it appeals to you, it tempts you, it entices you. And do I have any witnesses today who know that sometimes temptation will call you by your very name? One thing that we have to understand is that the devil is crafty. Come on, tell that neighbor, the devil is slick. He's slick. He's low down. He's dirty. He's smart when it comes to the flesh. You see, he knows what turns you on. He knows what makes you tick. He knows how to turn your head, and he'll pull it right in your face and say, here it is, it's yours, just go on and take it. You know you want it. He offers you a fatal attraction, and there are times when we fall short that we let him lead us like a lamb to the slaughter. Yeah. Now remember, this wasn't Samson's first encounter with the fatal attraction. It was only by the grace of God that he made it through before, but this time it would be fatal. I said that simply to say this: we've got to stop letting the devil play us like puppets. Amen. Whenever he gets ready, amen, we've got to stop falling for the same old tricks every time. Now, I know you sitting there trying to look super spiritual and act like you ain't got no issues and you ain't got nothing that tempts you, nothing that entices you, but amen, amen. I may not know, but God knows that everybody up in here has something that will push your button. We've got to stop giving in to the same old desires. We've got to stop cheating on God. We say that we love the Lord and we're going to keep his commandments, but yet we're having an affair on him. You might ask, how is that, Pastor? Well, I'm glad you asked. Every time we go against his word and operate outside of his will, we're having an affair with a fatal attraction. And that fatal attraction, again, I tell you, is with sin. And the bad part about it is that there are some conditions, there are some consequences, there are some situations that will eventually manifest themselves as a result of our fatal attraction into sin, and it will take you, number one, farther than you wanted to go. Anybody ever been there? Come on, come on. I need some, these young folk need to see some real Christians. They need to see some folk who don't come in here, amen, with shiny halos on like you never messed up. They need to know, amen, because they're pretty innocent right now. But do I have any witnesses in here who will testify that as you keep on living, you figure out that you, where you thought you were 100 and you thought you had it all together and you thought you had every I dotted and every T crossed, you come to figure out that as long as you got this flesh on, temptation will mess with you. Oh my, oh my. But we need to tell our young people, we need to tell them that be careful, young folk. Be careful about the fatal attractions, because number one, sin will take you farther than you wanted to go. Now, it seems to me that in view of everything that Samson had been through in his previous relationships, he would have learned to leave well enough alone. After some of the things that we have been through, it seems to me that we shouldn't go back down the same road again. After experiencing two bad relationships, you think he would have been careful in his dealings with Delilah. But when you have your nose wide open and you are attracted, you are allured, you are enticed by something, you'll do whatever it takes to get it. The text clearly shows us that Samson was willing to go all the way to be with Delilah. He was willing to do whatever it took to have her. He was so captivated by her that he gave up the secret to his strength. Many times, my brothers and sisters, in life, we become so attracted to something that we're willing to forfeit the very things that God himself has given us as our powerful weapon against sin. Some have given up their praise because they wanted something more than praise. Some have given up their worship because they wanted something more than worship. But I come by to tell you today that at the end of the day, money will fail you. Good looks will deceive you. Is there anybody here who knows that you better keep your faith in God? You better keep your praise in God. Whatever you do, don't stop praising him. Whatever you do, don't stop worshiping him. You've got to fight against fatal attractions. I'm sure Samson's original thought was not to give Delilah his secret. But that's what happens when we get enticed. That's what happens when we get ensnared by sin. We get caught up in that fish on a hook syndrome. You know when a fish goes to nibble on your line, his intention is just, all I want is the bait. Amen. I really don't want a part of that hook. I just want to eat the bait. I just want the bait. But oftentimes what happens is that when he nibbles at the bait, it gets so good to it that he takes the whole bait and the hook catches him in his mouth. And when he tries to get away, it pulls on the line and the hook digs in deeper to allow the fisherman to pull in his catch. And many of us have been reeled in because we took some nibbles. Tell that neighbor, be careful about those nibbles. Those nibbles will turn into full course meals. Do I have any witnesses here today? You see, Delilah had the right bait, her beauty. And all she had to do was to cast her line. And she was able to hook Samson and take him farther than he wanted to go. He tried to just hang around the outskirts of sin. Y'all know how we do. We say stuff like a little dabble, amen. We'll do, amen, amen. It ain't gonna hurt nothing, amen. Just this one time, amen. It ain't gonna bother nothing, amen. And so Samson tried to just hang around the outskirts of sin by just being with her, but she was able to hook him and reel him in and just to get the secret behind his strength. And that's just what the enemy does, my brothers and sisters. He's able to reel us in and take us farther than we want to go. How, you might ask? Well, I'm glad you asked. The devil, he knows how to hit you right in that very area you claim to be strong in. If you're a strong family man who loves his wife and children, he knows how to send a gomer your way. If you're diligent in the area of finances, he knows how to mess with your spending habits. Amen, amen. It started out with Amazon showing up just once a month. But then you found out you had a little more time on your hands, and now every time you turn around, amen, Amazon is at your door. It's gotten so bad that sometimes you come home and a box is there, and you have to ask yourself, who ordered that? I got some witnesses in the house. That's what Delilah did. She didn't hold back. She got right to the point, just like the devil. When he gets us within his reach, he's not going to waste any time trying to get hold of us. His job is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Do y'all hear me this morning? The devil is not playing with us. He's not just trying to bother you for a little while. The devil wants to take you out of here. Why is that, Brother Pastor? It's because he recognizes that you are an instrument of praise. And the devil doesn't want God to get any praise. So he will try to trip you up with fatal attractions. And then you'll find yourself coming to church and you don't sing praise anymore because you say stuff like, well, they probably know what I did. They probably know where I went. But is there anybody in here who's so thankful for the blood of Jesus that you've made up in your mind that you're not going to let anything steal your joy? You're not going to let anything steal your praise. Give him praise in this place. The old folk used to say, be careful when you play with fire because you might get burned. They used to say stuff like, if you play with a dog too long, he'll lick you in the mouth. We've got to, and I know a lot of y'all now, you don't mind your dog licking you in the mouth. I see y'all on Facebook and TikTok, amen, but I don't want no dog licking me in the mouth, amen. When we hang out with the enemy, when we are dancing with the devil in the moonlight, we might not plan to go all the way, but if you're not careful, the fatal attraction of sin will take you farther than you wanted to go. But if you keep on reading, you will discover that Samson lied about the source of his strength three times. He tried to deceive a deceiver. He tried to beat Delilah at her own game. And likewise, many times we go too far with the enemy and we try to beat the devil at his own game. Is everybody here who knows you can't beat the devil at his own game? He's been around too long. He's defeated too many folk. He's defeated prophets and prophetesses. He's defeated a whole bunch of folk. And so you're not going to beat the devil at his own game. Is there anybody here who knows that if you're going to beat that low-down devil, you better get empowered with the Holy Ghost? You better learn how to speak in tongues and grab hold of the hands of the altar and let the anointing of the Holy Ghost flow in your... Is there anybody here who knows that the only power that can beat that devil is the power of the Holy Ghost? Give him praise in this place. In verse 16, Samson finally reached the point of no return. She bugged him so much that Samson goes all the way. And he tells Delilah the secret of his strength. If we're not careful, we will expose ourselves to the enemy and allow him to rule and reign and wreak havoc in our lives. But then secondly, I need to tell you that not only will sin take you farther than you wanted to go, I need to tell you that sin will keep you longer than you wanted to stay. In verses 18 through 21, when Delilah finally learned how to take advantage of Samson, she did what it took to put him at a disadvantage. That's what we get when the enemy gets you involved in sin. He'll do what it takes to keep you bound in that sinful situation. He'll do what it takes to keep you down. He'll do what it takes to keep you bound. He'll do what it takes to keep you in the trenches of torment so that you can't praise God, so that you can't worship God, so that you cannot say you're an overcomer. I don't know about y'all, but I thank God I'm an overcomer. You know what I'm saying? When I say I'm an overcomer, I'm saying that no matter what pitfalls, no matter what stones the devil places in my path, no matter what my haters try to do to me, no matter what enemies plan against me, when I say I'm an overcomer, I'm saying what the Bible says, and that is that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I believe by faith that God will condemn. Am I the only one in this room who's walking by faith and not by sight? And you're proud to announce to the world that you are an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. And if you study that word out in the Greek, it's similar to the word, we got a tennis shoe called Nike. And that word Nike really is the same meaning as the word overcomer. And you've heard me say before that back in the day when Michael Jordan was playing basketball, he would get in those Nikes, amen, and it seems like he could leap over everybody else. He could leap over everything else to make his shot. And I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that when you've got the power and presence of the Holy Ghost in your life, you really have on some spiritual Nikes. Amen. When sickness comes, you learn how to jump over sickness. When trouble comes, you learn how to fly over trouble. When folk lie on you and talk about you, you don't pay them no mind. You just keep on overcoming. Just keep on overcoming. Just keep on overcoming. Give him praise in this place. You see, before Samson told his secret, he always had a plan of attack. He had a way to escape. He had the ability to overcome. But he forfeited the power of God by exposing the secret of his hair. He gave his enemies the ammunition that they needed to defeat him. And I've discovered that many times in life, we allow the enemy not only to take us into sin, but we allow him to keep us enslaved and entangled and entrapped in sin because we forfeit the power of God. Not only are we relinquishing our covenant with God, but we also become confined, incarcerated, and imprisoned by the attractions laid before us. That's what the enemy does to us. He blinds us, which causes us to take our eyes off of Jesus. It causes us to lose sight of where God is trying to take us. He binds us, which holds us in the captivity of his will and our dependence on him. And then as a result, we take on the mentality of a prisoner. The fatal attraction of sin will take you farther than you wanted to go. The fatal attraction of sin will keep you longer than you wanted to stay. But then finally, the fatal attraction of sin will cost you more than you are willing to pay. In verse 23, we find out that Samson has to endure the high cost of humiliation that came from the Philistines that he had agonized, that he had tortured and tormented. The Bible says that they offered a great sacrifice to their god Dagon and rejoiced because he had delivered their enemy Samson into their hands. And y'all, they took Samson out there and they made a mockery of the brother. They laughed at him and they mocked him and they did all of that. But because of his faith in God, even though he had to deal with this fatality of attraction, God gave him one more shot. As a matter of fact, God said, brother, because he prayed, God said, I'm going to give you strength enough one more time to accomplish the purpose that I had for your life. You see, a part of Samson's purpose was to free the children of Israel. A part of his purpose was to kill the Philistines. And the record is that when God gave him one more shot, do I have a witness today? That when God gave him one more shot, hallelujah and bless his name, he killed more people in that one shot than he killed all of the other times put together. And that reminds me of what Paul said in Romans 8 and 28, that all things work together for the good of them who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And I wanted to close by telling you that you're not the only one who's had to deal with temptation in your life. You're not the only one that has had to deal with fatal attraction. If the truth would be told, everybody in this room has had to deal with enticement. Everybody in this room has had to deal with temptation. But if you're here today, you ought to be able to praise God that you all survived. I made it not because I've been so good. I made it not because I've done it all right, but it was by the grace of God. You ought to thank God for his grace. And after all,